You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Smooth Ride podcast with me, Alisha Sachdev. Today we're talking EVs, electric scooters to be more specific, and the reason why is pretty clear. The Government of India has recently announced customer incentives up to 40% of the cost of an electric scooter, so we're talking subsidies that rival even China in government-led customer initiatives for EV adoption. And of course, as fuel prices also cross psychological levels of 100 rupees a litre, the proposition of owning an EV with its much lesser cost of running is more attractive now than ever before. For this edition of Smooth Ride, my guests are Tarun Mehta and Swapnil Jain, co-founders of Aether Energy, a pioneering made-in-India electric two-wheeler startup, and we're going to be talking about Aether's flagship product, the 450X, electric scooters in India, challenges in mass production, and how the new FAME II subsidies will drive exponential growth in EVs in India. Listen in. So Swapnil and Tarun, I think the one thing that would have, you know, really fueled interest in electric vehicles at this point in time is fuel prices. You know, to begin with, tell me, are you seeing that in the inquiries you're getting and the bookings also that you're able to clock? Just the fact that there is enormous, pressure on fuel prices right now and people have had it. Is that something you're seeing?
Yeah, thanks for having us here, Alisha. So absolutely, I think fuel at 100, like while petrol prices have been going up for a long while now, I think recently we seem to have crossed this really massive psychological barrier, right? Like petrol prices, triple digits, yeah. Century, 100. So I think that's certainly affecting how seriously people are thinking about electric. That's also driving a lot more conversation around electric now, right? Like it's one thing for petrol to be at, like, I don't know, 85, 88, 89, 91, but the day it crosses 100, like, suddenly it's your Saturday evening conversation on coffee with everybody, right? And that's driving more awareness. So there are two benefits. First, obviously, such a high petrol price changes the math for everybody. So that drives more EV interest. But B, the price point of 100 plus drives more conversations. And we're certainly seeing that being a factor in more and more electric purchases now.
Interesting. So certainly, I mean, it's become conversation point for sure. But are you seeing that reflect, like I said, in queries itself, just this one factor around fuel prices?
So let me put it this way. We've begun our pandemic expansion only late last year, right? Like November, December. By March, we'd already hit a point that we were getting like north of 30, 40,000 inquiries every month. Test rate bookings, actually. And that's our biggest constraint right now. We just don't have enough places to give test rides. We don't have enough vehicles. We don't have enough people, right? To give you a sense of scale, this is a number that's almost, I think, 20 times higher than what we historically used to do. So yeah, there's been a huge, 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 huge spurt.
Sure. Interesting. And I'm going to come back to that, aspect of growth again. But first, let's talk about the FAME II subsidy also and the significant increase, you know, in customer incentives that we saw, which was announced last week. How much more do you think, of course, there is the math, you know, in terms of how much more affordable that has made your scooters. So maybe walk me through that first. And then secondly, do you think that finally we're at a comfortable level of customer incentives? I mean, is this it or will there need to be more?
I think this recent change to FAME II was the most important change in the last 15 years of electric vehicle policy in India. It's done a few things. First, obviously, it's made electric scooters more affordable. In our case, it's dropped prices by roughly 15,000 rupees almost immediately. It also opens up the opportunity for further subsidy claims. And the total subsidy available for an electric scooter now goes up from 30,000 rupees to more than 60,000 rupees. To give you a sense of, you know, how big this makes India's EV policy possibly the most ambitious EV policy in the world right now. This level of demand support is just incredibly strong.
And vis-a-vis China?
Yeah, vis-a-vis China. You're talking about 40% subsidy support, right? This rivals what China was able to do with its for its electric vehicles. And I think this opens up that kind of a heady growth for electric vehicles in the next 5 years. What China saw like maybe a decade back, right? Like where sales kept shooting 3, 4, 5x every year. I think we're going to see something very similar with EVs now. So I think on the demand side, this is incredibly strong, incredibly great. What this has also done is while every price reduction helps, this last price reduction is especially crucial because for what it's doing now is that a comparable electric scooter now will have the same or maybe even a lower upfront cost compared to a petrol scooter. And I don't think the market's understood this yet because there are only few electric vehicles in the market. But as the portfolio expands for us and others, I think this will become pretty clear pretty soon. We're going to see electric scooters that ride better, faster than a petrol scooter at an upfront cost cheaper than a petrol scooter with this subsidy support. And once you are in that kind of a place where an electric is cheaper to buy and cheaper to run because it's obviously electric and not 100 rupees a liter petrol, it starts becoming an almost no-brainer for the entire market to shift to electric. See, in an organic growth, what you would have seen is early adopters buying first, right? Then early majority customers buying first, then late majority, and then laggards, the classic technology curve playing out. I think this basically turbocharges the entire adoption curve. And you're going to see customers across all parts of the entire spectrum suddenly moving electric at a rapid pace. So I think this drives in a lot of super fast growth for electric now.
Interesting. So clearly you're saying that the market also hasn't fully absorbed the extent of, you know, what these reductions really mean. But on that point, you know, states also have their own incentives, like Delhi government does, you know, but those incentives tend to exclude low speed scooters, which, as I understand, you know, form a large bulk of electric two-wheeler sales right now. So are you seeing a shift in trend there? Or do you think that will remain an important segment? If it will, you know, the fact that it has been excluded from, you know, subsidies, like the state governments provide, you know, will that be an issue somewhere?
I'm not sure. See, states can only play so much of a role. I think the bulk of the support that needs to come is coming from the central government, and rightfully so. What state governments can do is reduce friction, and in some cases like that of Delhi, additionally accelerate adoption by further smaller incentives. I think that's the kind of nature of incentives that we're going to see over the next few years, but the bulk of the support's got to be, I think, driven centrally here.
So again, you know, the point I was trying to highlight was that your products at Ather, of course, you know, are placed on the premium end of the two-wheeler segment. But a large part of the sales for electric two-wheelers still continue to be these low-speed scooters. So right. To that point, do you think that there is a change, you know, which will come in now with the level of subsidies we're now seeing? Or given the fact that they, you know, they, at present, they constitute about, what, 80 to 85% of the sales in this segment, and do correct me if I'm wrong, that would still remain an important part. So do you think that space also needs incentives to really, you know, shore up adoption?
Oh, so sure. Okay, so that part... no, listen, low-speed electric vehicles, electric scooters, constitute a large part of the current electric scooter market. But in terms of absolute volume, they've been stuck at 60, 80, 100,000 units annual for the last 15 years. On the other hand, so to me, the market to disrupt or the market to grow is not the 100K annual low-speed electric scooter market. The market to disrupt is the 2 crore per annum current Indian two-wheeler market, right? And that market, whether scooters or motorbikes, does not sit at 25, 30, 40 kilometers per hour speed performance, right? Like the highest selling two-wheeler in the market today is Honda Activa. That does 80 kilometers per hour, right? Like that's a mass market product. In fact, petrol scooters that offer lower performance than an entry-level Honda Activa don't have a comparable market share. They are like, in fact, 10 times lower in terms of volume. So clearly the market really sits at a particular performance level, and dropping below that with low speed electric scooters, while there is a market for it, is a far lower opportunity. The opportunity is in substitution. The opportunity is in converting existing petrol scooter and motorbike buyers to electric scooter and motorbike buyers, right? I think that's what you need to go after first, right? Which is what, and I think that's what the government's kind of aiming towards, which is rightfully going after substitution and replacing petrol with electric, as opposed to solving a different problem, which is bringing in more people who need mobility and bringing electric to them. It's an admirable problem to solve, but it's not the primary problem to solve.
Right, for sure. Maybe Swapnil can take this one, you know, and let's talk about the flagship product at Tether Energy, which is the 450X. So maybe talk to me about the story of this product, you know. Like you're saying, the idea is to really convert, you know, the customer segment to electric scooters now. What makes it a best-in-class scooter? And what's the nearly, 1.5 lakh, 2 lakh rupees that I need to shell out for it?
Right. So actually, when we first began designing the 450, and this is almost what, 5, 6 years, 7 years back now, the idea was very simple, that we want to build the best in class vehicle, the best in class scooter out there in the market. Not a best in class electric vehicle, but the best in class scooter itself. And that's where the whole thought process of being a connected vehicle, having performance which will beat like a 150cc scooter. Essentially, like there are two aspects to adoption to electric vehicle. One is obviously the cost, and there is another aspect which is the whole stigma around having a boring vehicle.
Performance,
boring vehicle. I cannot really, like, when you buy a vehicle, you want to get your job done, right? Like, you don't want to, you're not always looking for like saving money, but you're also looking at like, can I get my job done? Even if probably in some cases you have to spend more money. So the idea of designing the 450 was that it has to be a vehicle which lets you do the job which a petrol vehicle would do, and do it even better. So with the connected vehicle feature, the touchscreen dashboard, the onboard navigation, we've taken a notch up on the two-wheeler itself, not necessarily just electric vehicles, but on the two-wheeler itself. So if you are in the market to buy the best scooter today, that would be the 450. So and that was the thought process with which the vehicle was designed. Now with all these subsidies, the vehicle also starts becoming more and more cheaper. So that's an added cherry on top. But even otherwise, the folks who were buying the 450X were primarily buying it for its performance and very well knowing that it's the best scooter out there in the market today. May it be in the performance, may it be in the new age features, mm-hmm. everything, ride, handling, all of that, it hands down beats the petrol scooters out there.
Right. So clearly that's a far, wider pitch than just saying that, you know, you'd be buying a best in class electric scooter. And that then obviously puts you in the league of the, you know, 20 million units annually sort of a two-wheeler market that we have in the country. So how do electric two-wheelers figure here really? And, since you mentioned that, you know, your inquiries tend to far exceed the numbers that you're actually able to produce, can you also talk me through what some of your most prominent challenges are when it comes to production, and how are you working through that?
So there are two things. One is that the whole electric vehicle industry is still like nascent and is still gearing up, and second is that being a startup, being a new product, it has its own hiccups in the start. So I think we've learned a lot. We've come a long way from the early days of the 450. And the focus has been constantly on improving quality, improving the capacity of production, like the kind of production numbers we are talking about right now. We've in the last year we made it in the entire year is what we are talking about making in a month right now. So like taking the production volumes up while keeping the cost and cost down, quality, keep improving the quality. And doing all of that in a nascent industry of electric vehicles is pretty pretty challenging, I would say. And I think most people think of electric vehicles as from the design perspective, but they tend to sort of underplay what goes in the entire supply chain and manufacturing aspect of things. That's why you would hear of a lot of like newcomers in the EV industry, because mm-hmm. it's actually very easy to like create the first prototype or like create the first 100 vehicle. But then going from there to making like a few thousand units, even a few thousand units per month, is a very different league and you have to do a lot of learning in terms of supply chain and manufacturing. And I think that's what our journey has been in the last 1 year, which has sort of put us in the right path to deliver. Not just the demand is there, but now then you have to serve the demand as well. And that's what we have sort of geared up ourselves in the last 1 year for.
You know, actually scaling up the supply chain, chain, I think, is one of the largest pieces and probably something that's taken a lot of our, brain power. It's easy to imagine that, you know, ultimately suspension, brakes, body panels, which the industry has, but like electric has so much new stuff, cells, electronics, and a lot of that is non-classical automotive supply chain that trying to figure out and align that with automotive timelines and everything. I think that's been I think Swapan spent a good part of his last 2 years just trying to crack that. It's easily been one of our hardest challenges.
And that figures. I mean, we've seen, no less than a Tesla also, you know, go through this period of quote unquote production hell. So it only figures what you're saying, that this must be a big challenge right now. But also tell me that, especially currently and over the last, 6 months or more than that, in fact, the challenges we've been seeing on the supply side when it comes to semiconductors and other electronic components, has that also impacted you?
So funnily, because you're in the EV industry, we have seen these challenges way ahead of everyone else. Like even 2 years back, we were actually sort of seeing these challenges, not to this extent, obviously, but we have seen these challenges. So in general, the organization was already well prepared, and when this happened, it was not actually a new thing for us. I mean, like the extent was the impact was slightly higher, but in general, we're very prepared and we are very comfortable working with lead times of which goes in 8 months, 10 months, even 12 months of lead time. And the organization has sort of, the DNA of the organization is sort of designed around it. So while, yes, we had certain hiccups, but we have not been impacted by the semiconductor shortages which have happened.
So nothing, I mean, so the COVID-led disruptions did not really upend anything, you're saying. You were used to this.
Yeah, I mean, like not on the semiconductor front, but obviously because of production line being down because of the lockdown period. Yes, there has been that impact, but otherwise the impact of purely the semiconductor shortage, which is also COVID led, but the semiconductor shortage is not something which has hit us in a bad way.
Very interesting. So maybe there's something to learn here, you know, even for legacy automakers. So now, Tarun, maybe you could take this one again. Your expansion to cities outside of Bangalore, Chennai, you know, cities like Delhi happened sometime earlier this year. And then the lockdowns happened soon after. So were you able to really see the full scale of the traction that you would have gotten in these markets? So what has response been like by and large?
Response has been great, but you're right. We haven't seen the full scale in most cities. Cities like Coimbatore, Kochi.
Even Bombay for that matter, right?
At least in Bombay, we were able to open a store, right? These other places I'm talking about, Delhi, Coimbatore, Calicut. Like we haven't even opened a store. Like we began deliveries just because, you know, there were customers. But you couldn't even open a store. So I think despite that, demand has been pretty strong and really... really heartening, but I think we just got a glimpse of a few months of how much EV interest is there in especially tier two towns. A little forward to the lockdowns lifting, hopefully life coming back a little bit of a normal. Our construction's begun again in many cities simultaneously now. So over the next 3-4 months, we'll have a lot of launches and really, and in some cases, a second experience centers opening in cities because the demand's higher. Pretty high now. So I think we'll really see the full extent playing out only over the next 6-9 months.
Okay. So can you get a little bit more specific with that? You know, just maybe point out which were the cities you were able to open up showrooms, and then what's next on your, priority list, as, you know, like you're saying, construction will resume and things will restart again.
So won't remember all the cities right away, but Delhi work has resumed a while back. And we are hoping for the Delhi Experience Center to be up and running in a few weeks, I think. Same's the case for a few other cities in Kerala. And a couple of satellite towns also will go live. Bangalore's second experience center also goes live. Potentially a second experience center in Chennai goes live. So this is what I immediately remember. We're present in roughly about 13 cities right now, but there are another 12 in the pipeline. And we now want to look at a much larger number. These 12 will likely open by the festive season. Through the rest of the year, we'll keep adding more cities.
Great. So just in time towards October, November, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So then, Tarun, we've spoken about demand to, you know, quite an extent. And you also, you and Swapnil have highlighted production challenges at this time too. The other piece of the story is, you know, the other aspects related to battery production, storage, you know, there is, you know, semiconductor manufacturing itself. We are seeing there is, you know, increased policy focus towards these aspects of the battery supply chain and the EV, you know, supply chain, so that there is good demand for the end product ultimately too. Can you speak to, you know, how you are assessing these developments that we've seen recently, you know, the PLI scheme, for instance, for advanced chemistry cells? How's that translating on the ground?
I think these are long-term policies, Alisha. So I don't think like PLI scheme was announced only recently. In response to this, we're going to see 5-year, 7-year, 8-year business plans because investing in battery or investing in cell manufacturing is not a program that yields any output in less than 2-3 years. The good news is, and the underlying the anchor for all of this is the demand that electric vehicles will have in India, which is further solidified by this new subsidy that the government's announced. So if you are a battery manufacturer, you know that there's going to be demand for your battery. And if you want to get into cell manufacturing, you know that the battery manufacturer is going to go buy your cells, right? So overall, everybody's predictions are going to look great. We're going to see substantial investments here. There was a recent report, I forget, was it by JP Morgan or Morgan Stanley, but they're talking about how with the PLI scheme and other ACC, I think advanced chemistry.
Correct, that's right.
Yeah, I think that wala scheme, India could likely have the lowest cell prices globally in the next 5 years. So I think you're going to see these things genuinely play out. Government support is very strong. Would they lead to anything today? Unlikely. See, because you're not going to see any output of that cell or battery manufacturing this year or maybe even next year. But
that's true.
But if you look at a 5-year horizon, 100% we are going to have strong domestic manufacturing. 100% we are going to have pretty aggressive cell pricing in India.
No, you're right to point out that these are, of course, long-term investments and, you know, perhaps one of the largest opportunities also of this century, you know, for many global growth sectors. This, of course, also includes consumer electronics and, you know, some such, not just EVs. But, you know, again, coming back to the point of the end customer itself, since we started there, I think it's a good note to also, you know, end on. You're saying that you continue to see robust inquiries, you know, for the products that you've put out in the market. And these are, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, these would tend to be customers, you know, who still are, you know, early adapters and, you know, want to, you know, work with a stylish scooter and have the sort of, you know, money to put aside for a premium product like this. Do you think that we're on the path of mass adoption or significantly close to it right now when it comes to electric scooters? Because volumes, just speaking in terms of volume strictly, that still remains fairly low and not very significant compared to the you know, two-wheeler volumes that we see annually in the country. I mean, sure, it's just the beginning, but at what point of this journey are we currently at?
I think we are at the takeoff point. I would have said that the takeoff is just around the horizon, but now I'd say we are at the takeoff point. As the lockdowns lift, do not be surprised if month-on-month EVs continue to grow at about 20-30% month-on-month for a long time now. Two reasons. That with this new subsidy, the total cost of ownership for an electric vehicle now, depending on the exact model, you're looking at something that's almost 30-40% cheaper. to own and operate.
Right.
Upfront price wise, our products now start at 1.25 lakhs, and there will be you know, product portfolio expansion. So we'll be able to compete across more price points in the coming year. Upfront price is coming down. TCO is really beautiful. The biggest stumbling block for the EV industry historically was lack of good products. And I think as good products have started coming in, and as players like us fix our supply chain and expand distribution, you're going to see exponential growth over the next year. So I think the point of serious exponential takeoff is now here. Like it's not like, oh, 6 months out, 1 year out, 2 years out. I think it's here. Like literally as the lockdowns start lifting, you are going to see crazy growth.
Beautiful. So how much of this was actually motivated by, you know, COVID itself? I mean, you know, to some measure, at least, and this is a conversation we were having last year that, you know, the customer, you know, is more environment conscious and things like that. Do you think that that was a factor at all, you know, in this growth that you're talking about? And this is X of the subsidies and the, you know, cost reductions, etc. Psychologically, do you think that COVID played a role in this at all?
I think limited. I think COVID definitely drew more attention towards
right.
the environment and making a more sustainable and healthy choice. But honestly, Swapnil and I have always been believers that ultimately that's post-purchase rationalization. People have got to, like the only way the entire market, and this market is large, right? The 20 million annual volume. A 20 million volume will shift to electric only if it makes practical, economical sense for the end customer, direct sense for the end customer. So you've got to have a better product. You've got to have superior ownership cost. And that's when the market flips. And that's how you make something like electric sexy and desirable. So I think this helped, but this was a smaller factor, honestly.
Right, absolutely. So maybe, you know, the parting words can come from Swapnil here. You know, the play will also have to be making EVs, you know, sexy and desirable. Do you think that other products in the market, and you don't have to name names, of course, but, you know, those by, you know, traditional, you know, auto players that we have in the market now, are they sort of playing to that, you know, playing to that theme also?
Yeah, I would say actually, if you look at all the good EVs which have come out of in the market, everyone is talking about being connected. Everyone is having a screen which is sort of not a very standard screen. So I think it is very much understood by everyone that when you move to electric, there is a It's not just a change of powertrain, which even the customer is sort of looking for. Even the customers are looking for a completely new experience itself. And I think it goes without saying that almost all the good electric vehicles which will come out in the market will be a step up in experience from the petrol vehicles. Maybe you could call it, like, to begin with, you call it as a luxury or something. But I think that will soon become a like a status quo for all the electric, all the vehicles itself, because as more and more vehicles move towards electric and connected.
Awesome. I do hope that it indeed turns out that way. I mean, it's a win for everyone. Great products, better for the environment, saves a lot of money in fuel prices for all of us too. So that's only going to help everyone. On that note, thank you so much, Swapnil and Tarun, for joining me today. Great talking to you guys. You guys, of course, are, you know, one of the pioneering electric two-wheelers brands in India right now. And I think you'll be critical to the EV adoption story that we see in the country. So we'll definitely look out how that pans out too. Thanks so much.
Hey, nice joining you, Alisha.
Well, with that, it's a wrap on this edition of the Smooth Ride podcast. Thanks for tuning in. And now we're giving you a chance to be heard as well. In case you wish to give us any feedback, suggestions, or have a question for us, please do write to cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that is cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. Stay tuned in to CNBC TV18 for all the latest news and developments. Thank you and have a nice day.